Could I ask, Craig, when I was looking through your slides and I saw a mention of that made me think that you had the feeling that radiation therapy is underutilized?
So I think it's dramatically underutilized. I think that everybody in the room here has been taught about the evils of radiotherapy, and it's based upon radiotherapy that was given before most of us were born. Extended field radiotherapy, very large fields, very high doses. John and I are both at centers that have of the best radiotherapists in the world. The way we give radiotherapy now is much different at much lower doses and lower fields.
Could you give a clinical scenario where you think radiation therapy might not be utilized where it should be?
I think the classic one is an early stage Hodgkin lymphoma. For our male with stage one or two disease, I really don't see why patients don't get combined modality therapy. The results are better, the fields are smaller, and the patients do fine. For women, on the other hand, we try to avoid radiotherapy to the chest or the axilla at all costs, unless it's very, very bulky disease. So the underutilization of radiotherapy tends to be in women with early stage disease, non-mediastinal, or women with early stage disease with bulky mediastinal
So before
disease.
I ask John about this, I'm kind of curious though, is this based on data or you're just sort of seeing people being referred and stuff? Are there actual, data that suggests that radiation therapy is not utilized, for
Oh,
example?
it's lost in the United States.
But
There's
there's surveys, there's survey data.
no, there's common therapies right now for early stage disease are 3 to 4 cycles of chemotherapy up front, based upon the RAPID study or the CLGB study. And there are even studies right now which are single institution studies, non-randomized, showing that advanced stage disease that receives 6 cycles of chemotherapy with a negative PET scan at the end of treatment, there are investigators who don't do the radiotherapy. You can get this information from the NCCN database.
So, John, what are your thoughts about what Craig just talked about?
I mean, I totally agree with Craig
Really?
in that we've seen certainly a trend that patients that we see in the relapse setting now compared to 10 or 15 years ago are far less likely to have had any radiotherapy as part of their primary treatment package. I mean, that's one other way to look at this. But, I've been struck by we're lucky, again, when you're at an academic center and you do your multidisciplinary tumor board with a good group of radiation oncologists, you can always have that input about what the safety of the field is going to look like and feasibility. And so it is the single most important modality or the single most active modality, and I think continues to be underutilized. So we certainly try to build it into our salvage strategy when it hasn't been used frontline.
What would you say, John, right now as a standard approach or your standard approach to early stage disease?
Yeah, so we would have done, again, something very similar in terms of how that case was presented. I think one of the moving pieces that's come up from a data standpoint, so the EORTC ran a study called the H10 trial, which looked at randomizing people if they were PET2 positive and dose intensifying them to BCOP, and that with small numbers actually appeared to improve overall survival in that patient population. So with that data available, we've updated our treatment policies to potentially consider escalating these types of patients to a short course of escalated BCOP and potentially following that with involved nodal radiation thereafter.
Again, Craig, can you talk about your vision of what a standard algorithm is, including dosing of radiation therapy?
So in general, remember the Hodgkin lymphoma paradigm is that there's 3 types of early stage Hodgkin lymphoma. There are those that are favorable, unfavorable, and unfavorable with tumor bulk. And this is amply vetted in the literature based through the German Hodgkin Lymphoma Study Group. For favorable early stage disease, 20 gray is as good as 30 gray. For unfavorable early stage disease, 30 gray is standard if you're going to use ABVD. If you're going to use BICOP, you can get away with 20 gray. And for patients with bulky disease, the standard paradigm these days is a little bit more than 3,000, centigray of radiotherapy. This is all well vetted in the literature.
And Craig, what about men versus women? Same exact paradigm?
So I think in general, if you look at the literature that comes out of the US and Europe, more men get radiated for early stage disease than women. And I, for one, do exactly the same thing. I only radiate women who have a 10 centimeter mass. The risk of, remember, the median age of this disease is 28, so unless the female patient is going to really be older than 40, the risk of breast cancer at a point approaches relapse rate in early stage disease, quite frankly, in a woman in their 20s. So I avoid radiotherapy.
John, can you talk a little bit about the long-term impact of radiation therapy over the period of years, particularly in terms of cardiovascular impact, pulmonary impact, and of course, cancer, particularly breast cancer. What kinds of numbers do you give to your patients, and how does it vary based on where the radiation is and the dose?
Yeah, I mean, it's a moving target, Neil. I think the concern is certainly, you know, as Craig's already mentioned, the fields are smaller, the doses are lower, and so the historical data is largely going to overestimate the risks for these patients, given that, again, with modern conformal technique, the amount of normal tissue or non-tumor tissue being radiated is going to be low. So, you know, groups like ours, we have a radiation oncologist, David Hodgson, that does a lot of modeling that looks at predicting this over time. And certainly it's much more optimistic. I think the historical data are concerning because the numbers continue to climb over time and they look very frightening when you look at breast cancer risk based on older fields. But I think it remains an open question in some regards as to how much better that risk profile is going to look moving forward. The untold one, I think, is the cardiovascular story, to your point, where even with non-radiation-based strategies, I think when these patients are being followed, you are seeing cardiovascular risks that are accumulating over time. And I think, again, watching how that evolves is going to be an important thing. But the risk numerically, I think, is very hard to describe now just because the way we're giving therapy now is so different than it was 10 or 20 years ago when we describe risks from mature data sets.